Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Hey, good morning, my brothers and sisters. So glad to be back with you this morning, back on the air. The airwaves that are blogtalkradio.com and the internet, and thank you so much to all of the Mighty Companions that are listening in online, and also if you're listening in on archived sessions of this broadcast, I'm truly honored that you're taking a few moments to remember God. That's my purpose here, is to just to be the learner. Our teacher has shared with us that through this beautiful scripture, A Course in Miracles, I call it the graduate study in spirituality. He has shared here that the teacher is the learner. So the real privilege that I get from just reading this book and from sharing this with you as my mighty companion and me being your mighty companion is the joining of the mind of Christ that we are. And as we remember ourself, our true self, and get in alignment with this true self, it's what comes forth. It's just overwhelming, literally. But it's not overwhelming because it's natural and normal. And I personally become infilled with the spirit of love, and I know that you are there, and I know that I love you, and I know that you love me. Even if we don't know it sometimes, it's underneath, because our true self always knows that this is true. And this voice, this part of our mind that we seem to have turned our back on for millennia, literally, for an unimaginable amount of time, as if time itself had any reality whatsoever to begin with, is that we have denied ourselves. And we deny that part of ourselves also in our brothers and sisters as we have denied God, because that part of ourselves is God, because you and God are one. And when you let that be, you get your identity back. This Sunday I'm going to be speaking at a guest speaker at the Center for Conscious Living in Waterville, Ohio. And I found this place, or this place found me, about a year and a half ago. I came here to this area with a friend who was very excited to come to a workshop that was being held by Paul Selig. And Paul is now traveling around the country, if not the world, I don't know, but he's channeling what he calls the guides. And we've come to two sessions now, but in that meeting, which was a year ago last November, I met this beautiful young lady and who became literally, and immediately the attraction was so real and palpable, and I was leaning in, and literally, there are no accidents, and the Holy Spirit kind of arranged it that the seat that was beside me just happened to be the one that was empty, and there were almost no seats left, and she chose to sit beside me. So we spent the day together getting to know each other, but our very first impressions with each other were you know, I what we were repeating, that the guides were having us stand up and talk with our partners, and what we were repeating with each other was, I know who you are. sorry, I'm laughing because I'm about to cry at the same time. It was such a beautiful experience, but I know who you are. I know what you are, and I know how you serve. And while we said these words many times to each other and to other participants, of course, at the workshop, I did not yet fully grasp what they meant. But I had a snap of it, and because I have been studying the Course in Miracles for some time. But over this last year and a half, this relationship has blossomed into a partnership in God, and what we call a holy relationship in the Course in Miracles. And I'm so truly honored by that relationship, as I am with you as a mighty companion, as anyone who might be listening to our brother Jesus, who is teaching us through this Course in Miracles that we travel in darkness and we've lost our way home. And while the light of truth and the great rays that we talk about in the Course and all of this is still something that we are denying ourselves, literally, we have walled off this part of ourself that knows that all of this is true and that we are taking some imaginable, I mean, some fantastic, I don't even know what imaginable word is, if that's a real word. I don't know where it comes from. But we're taking this fantastic, fabulous, that is, fabricated journey in mind into some idea that we could be separate from God. And it's just not true. And that's what resonates again and again and again and again. And so our brother Jesus, who clearly says to you that he is your equal, that you are his equal, and that we are all equal in God, that you and God are one. And when you let that be, that one is God, and when you let that be, you get your identity back. And that you are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. There's no journey, no process, except in mind that we have tricked ourselves into believing our very own story, our fabricated daydream. What would it be like to be without God? And we tricked ourselves into believing that this whole thing is real and concrete, and it must be because it seems to evidence itself to us continuously throughout the waking walk, if you will, the waking dream, I call it. But it certainly seems no more real than the dreams we have at night, because those also seem real as well. So our teacher is saying, you are absolutely, even though he would love to describe to us and tell us what it's like to be awakened, it's beyond the capacity of ego intellect, which is a very poor servant indeed of us, to be able to comprehend it. And we laugh and talk about how we can't teach our cat to drive our car because it's beyond its intellectual capacity. And I believe this is really a little bit about similar to what our brother Jesus is attempting to share with us in the Course in Miracles. It's really kind of beyond, it is, well, I'll tell you from personal experience already, it's way beyond what the ego intellect will ever be able to comprehend. It's way beyond that. So it's not something that you're going to be able to figure out while you're muddling around in the darkness on your own. But he keeps pointing us in that direction. He keeps telling us about the light, about the great rays, about the truth, that there is no such thing as darkness, that it's an illusion, this idea of separation, and all of the ramifications that came out of this simple idea of what would it be like to go play God without God. And suddenly guilt and fear and all these other aspects of ego thinking came into play. And it's just a dream. It's just an illusion. But damn it, it still feels like it's real, and it keeps witnessing to us that it's real, but it is not. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and we became fast friends, and he was talking about he'd had a spiritual experience and really had been atheistic before, but he had this great experience, and he shared with us a small group there that we were talking and just sitting around talking, and you know, God seems to be in all of our conversations now. Things are changing, and we can't seem to forget it. It just rolls out, you know, it's there, And he talked about darkness, you know, and he felt like, well, that darkness was important. Because, you know, in darkness, that God created darkness so that we could learn. And it's like, no. You know, and I shared with him the same thing that I had shared with you, I think, earlier this week in my conversation with a man that I was discussing God, and we were talking about self over the weekend, last weekend, on Palm Sunday, I believe it was, but the what came forth from the Holy Spirit was, you cannot do what God has not created. You cannot hide in darkness, my friends. You cannot do what God has not created. There is no darkness. It's a dream. It's an illusion. It's a fabrication of insanity. And the more we muddle around with it and hold it and embrace it and try to give it meaning, that's just the ego's poor ability to comprehend truth. And trying its best to say that it knows what God must be, because it's all powerful itself, and it's created you. You've created yourself. It is you. And that's bullshit. It's total bullshit, because you are not the ego thinking. You are not this idea that you've made yourself up to be, because the Holy Spirit is constantly nudging. Just a little nudge, saying, wait, listen. I'm always here. You can ask anytime. I practice this a lot now. I'll just say, are you still there? And boom, man, I feel it, I can hear it, it's in my mind, because I am mind. And the answer resonates always, truly saying, yes, of course I'm still here. You can never be alone. You can never be separate. And you are love. And our teacher says that love is beyond what can be taught. It can only be known. But this poor little insane little ego mind with its idea of what wisdom and intelligence and knowledge and all of this is just like... it's nothing compared to the knowing that is God. And you have this aspect of you that's never been separate from you, that's never, it is you, okay? But it's the voice for your true self, capital S self. It's the voice for God, because you and God are one. And it's always the truth teller. It's always there, always has your best interest at heart, but not just yours, because your ego is like, oh, what about me? What about, no, it's not just yours. Whatever you turn over to the Holy Spirit, his decisions are the right decisions for all of the sonship. Aren't you glad you don't have to make those kind of decisions? No, we just want to make decisions for ourselves today. If we could just do that, I could just be a little happier. If I could just take care of me, I'm good, right? But when we turn to this voice that is the voice for God, but also, since you and God are one, the voice for your true self, it is your voice nudging you. Wake up, wake up. Almost like in the morning when you're waking up from your dreams at night, you begin to doubt the dream because something about the light that comes through the window begins to change the chemical exchanges that are going on in your body, and you begin to awaken, you begin to doubt the dream itself. The light brings you out of the idea that you can have create a dream, a world that seems so real, but then again, as you begin to doubt it, it begins to fade, and suddenly, hell, we can't even remember it a few minutes later, because dreams have no effect. Dreams are just imagination. Dreams are nothing, absolutely nothing. Made of nothing. And they go back to what they were made of. As soon as we begin to recognize the light has come and we are awakening from that dream, this is what we're talking about. And this section that we're going to read today, I'm so excited to read with you today, because it's so telling. It's so telling, and it tells us so much about this, what we're doing to ourselves on a continuous basis. And this is section 3, if you're following along in chapter 11, God or the ego, and this is it's entitled From Darkness to Light. And also, this ties in beautifully with our lesson today, Lesson 108. So I want to move along now because I've got another appointment at the top of the hour, but I want to share with you that this reading is very powerful, and I hope that you'll go back and look at it again and again, because the light has come. It's always here. It's not like it's just showing up now. It's always there, but we have created obstacles to the awareness of the presence of the light of God, the knowing of self. From darkness to light, when you are weary, remember, you have hurt yourself. We start in Section 3, Chapter 11, the textbook of A Course in Miracles. Your comforter, capital C comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, right, will rest you, but you cannot. You do not know how. For if you did, you could never have grown weary. Unless you hurt yourself, you could never suffer in any way. Unless you hurt yourself, you could never suffer in any way. For that is not God's will for his child, his son, his daughter. Pain is not of him, God, for he knows no attack, and his peace surrounds you silently. God is very quiet, for there is no conflict in him. Conflict is the root of all evil, for being blind, it does not see whom it attacks. Yet it always attacks the child of God, the son of God, the daughter of God, and that one is you. The son of God is you. God's son is indeed in need of comfort, for he knows not what he does. Believing his will is not his own. The kingdom is his, and yet he wanders homeless. At home in God, he is lonely, and amid all of his brothers and his sisters and all of the children of God, he is friendless. Would God let this be real when he did not will to be alone himself? And if your will is his, it cannot be true of you, because it is not true of him. You and God are one. So what God wills is your will. You can dream of something else, right? But it doesn't change. Dreams don't change what you are. No matter what you imagine yourself to be in the middle of the night in your dreams, no matter where you imagine yourself to be, no matter who you imagine yourself to be with, and no matter what's going on in that dream, when you wake up, what happens? You come to the realization that you are safe, at home, in bed, resting all along. Continuing, oh my child, if you knew what God wills for you, your joy would be complete. When the light comes and you have said, God's will is mine, you will see such beauty that you will know it is not of you. You'll know it's not of you. And out of your joy, you will create beauty in his name. For your joy could be no more contained than his, God's joy. The bleak little world will vanish into nothing, and your heart will be so filled with joy that it will leap into heaven and into the presence of God. I, and this is our brother Jesus, speaking directly to you, I cannot tell you what this will be like, for your heart is not ready. Yet I can tell you and remind you often that what God wills for himself, he wills for you, and what he wills for you is yours. The way is not hard, but it is very different. It's very different. It is very different. Yours is the way of pain, of which God knows nothing. That way is hard indeed and very lonely. Fear and grief are your guests, and they go with you and abide with you on the way. But the dark journey is not the way of God's Son. Walk in light and do not see the dark companions, for they are not fit companions for the Son of God, who was created of light and in light. The great light capital G, capital L. The great light always surrounds you and shines out from you. And how can you see the dark companions in a light such as this? If you see them, it's only because you're denying the light. But deny them instead, for the light is here and the way. God hides nothing from his Son, even though his Son would hide himself. Yet the Son of God cannot hide his glory, for God wills him to be glorious and give him the light that shines in him. You will never lose your way, for God leads you. When you wander, you but undertake a journey that's not real. The dark companions, the dark way, are all illusions. Turn through the light. Turn away from the darkness. Turn toward the light, for the little spark in you is part of a light so great that it can sweep you out of all darkness forever. For your Father is your Creator, and you are like him. The children of light cannot abide in darkness, for darkness is not in them. Don't be deceived by the dark comforters, and never let them enter the mind of God's Son, for they have no place in his temple. When you are tempted to deny him, God, remember, there are no other gods to place before him, and accept his will for you in peace, for you cannot accept it otherwise. Only God's comforter can comfort you, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. And in the quiet of his temple, he waits to give you the peace that's yours. Give his peace that you may enter the temple and find it waiting for you. Give his peace. Remember, giving and receiving are one. Give that peace to the world. Give that peace to your brothers and sisters. Give his peace that you may enter the temple and find it waiting for you. Be in holy, but be holy in the presence of God, or you will not know you are there. For what is unlike God cannot enter his mind, because it was not his thought, and therefore does not belong to him. And your mind must be as pure as his if you would know what belongs to you. Guard carefully his temple, and he himself dwells there and abides in peace. Guard carefully his temple, for he, God himself, dwells there and abides in peace. And what is his temple? Your mind is his temple. You cannot enter, I'm adding that, I'm going to continue. You cannot enter God's presence with the dark companions beside you. But you also cannot enter alone. You see, all your brothers enter with you. For until you've accepted them, you cannot enter. For you cannot understand wholeness unless you are whole. And no part of the Son can be excluded if he would know the wholeness of his Father. In your mind, you can accept the whole sonship and bless it. The whole sonship and bless it with the light your Father gave it. Then you will be worthy to dwell in the temple with him, because it is your will not to be alone. God blessed his Son forever. If you will bless him in time, you will be in eternity. Time cannot separate you from God if you use it on behalf of the eternal. I'm always tempted to say amen after I read each one of these. Let's turn to our lesson 108, and you'll notice this common theme now about light. And light, understanding, love, God, your true self, reality, knowing, all of this is all just defining what you are in reality. To give and to receive are one in truth. As we just read a minute ago, you know, give your gift, which is what you have received of God, give it to your brothers and sisters. Well, how do you receive it? By giving it, by opening up, by becoming the channel of truth. Allowing the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, to speak through you, to for you to begin to know yourself, to no longer turn your back on yourself, your true self. To give and to receive are one in truth. Vision depends upon today's idea. The light is in it, for it reconciles all seeming opposites. And what is light except the resolution, born of peace, of all your conflicts and mistaken thoughts into one concept, which is wholly true? And what is light except the resolution, born of peace, of all of your conflicts and mistaken thoughts into one concept, which is wholly true? Question mark right here. Do you have an eye? Do you have what comes to me? I'm just sharing you with my thoughts, as obviously I do here. What is this one concept? What is this one concept that can reconcile? Okay, all of our conflicts, all of your conflicts, and mistaken thoughts into one concept. What is it? Right? And then he says, even that one. That one what? That one concept will disappear. Thought behind it will appear instead to take its place. And now you are at peace forever, for the dream is over then. Is it a riddle? Is it a mystery? God is the mystery. And this appears to be a bit of a riddle. But what comes to me to share with you today in answer to the question is that one concept is true. That one concept, well, I won't say truth here because he says it will disappear, so I want to kind of add to it. The truth about what you are, when I say truth, the truth about what you are, who you are, what you are, and how you serve. What is this truth, this one concept, that and even that will disappear? It's the one illusion without opposite. The one illusion without opposite. The one illusion that's necessary for us to begin to see the light, the great light, the great rays of truth. And that one concept is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the one illusion without opposite. It's the one concept that reconciles all of our misperceptions. It reconciles all of our ideas about duality. You see, we're moving from the idea of duality, a quote-unquote concrete world, where you're over there and I'm over here, and God's somewhere out there. We're moving from duality to non-duality in our discussion now. Our teacher is taking us out of the belief and pointing us towards this misperception, if you will, that the ego mind has of you being separate from me, or you being separate from God, or us being separate from each other. Whatever it is, this idea is bullshit. The ego is a poor servant. The intellect of the ego is a poor servant to try to figure it out, because that's all it's doing is keeping you busy trying to figure it out and making its definition of what God is being make sense. But when we put it under the light, when we shine the light on it, it begins to break down. And this one illusion without opposite is forgiveness. Because that one illusion, even that one, will disappear. Because the thought, capital T thought behind it, will appear instead to take its place. And what is that capital T thought? You are as God created you. You are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. So how could there be conflict? How could you see your brothers and sisters in conflict? And as we read in the textbook this morning, when the light comes to your mind and you begin to awaken and you see with the light of the love of God, you won't even see the dark companions anymore. What are those dark companions? Anything other than love, a dream, an illusion, of being in some place outside of the mind of God, of being separate from God. It's a fabulous fantasy, but nothing more. And now you are at peace forever. For the dream is over then. Continuing. True thought that makes true vision possible is not the light the body's eyes behold. Your body's eyes and the ego intellect cannot be this. True light that makes true vision possible is not the light that the body's eyes behold. It's a state of mind that has become so unified with the Holy Spirit and your true self. It's a state of mind. It's a returning to sanity that has become so unified that darkness cannot be perceived at all. And thus, what is the same is seen as one, all of the sonship, all of what God is being in the mind of God, which is the only place you could be, is seen as one mind. And I want to say this is what our brother Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, this is how he saw all that is, as one with himself. He didn't travel with the dark companions. He didn't give any belief or faith in the insane ideas which God never created. You cannot do what God did not create, and that is sickness, aging, be imprisoned in a body, or even experience death. None of that is possible. This is a light that shows no opposites. True light that makes true vision possible is not the light the body's eyes behold. It's a state of mind that has become so unified that darkness cannot be perceived at all. And thus, what is the same is seen as one. You and all that you could experience are seen as one, while what is not the same remains unnoticed, for it is not there. This is the light that shows no opposites. And vision, being healed, has power to heal. This is the light that brings your peace of mind to other minds to share it and be glad that they are one with you and with themselves. This is the light that heals because it brings single perception based upon one frame of reference from which one meaning comes. To give and to receive are one in truth. This is the light that heals because it brings single perception. You see, we're moving from duality to non-duality, based upon one frame of reference from which one meaning comes. There is only God, I'm adding. Continuing, here are both giving and receiving seen as different aspects of one thought whose truth does not depend on which is seen as first, nor which appears to be in second place. This truth, all there is God, all there is love, there's nobody leading, there's nobody in the front, there's nobody behind, there's nobody first, there's nobody second. Here it is understood that both occur together, that the thought remain complete. And then this understanding is the base on which all opposites are reconciled. We move from duality to the realization of oneness, I'm adding. Continuing, because they are perceived from the same frame of reference which unifies this thought. One thought, completely unified, will serve to unify all thought. This is the same as saying one correction will suffice for all correction, or that to forgive one brother wholly, completely, wholly, to forgive one brother wholly is enough to bring salvation to all minds. For these are but some special cases of one law which holds for every kind of learning, if it be directed by the one, capital O, who, capital W, by the one who knows the truth. Who would that be? The Holy Spirit. Nothing more than your right mind. To learn, that giving and receiving are the same has special usefulness because it can be tried so easily and seen as true. And when this special case has proved, it always works. In every circumstance where it is tried, the thought behind it can then be generalized to all areas, to other areas of doubt and double vision. We move from duality to oneness, and from there it will extend and finally arrive at the one thought which underlies them all. Today, we practice with a special case of giving and receiving. We will use this simple lesson in the obvious because it has results that we cannot miss. To give is to receive. Today, we will attempt to offer peace to everyone and see how quickly peace returns to us. Light is tranquility, and in that peace is vision given us, and we can see. Light is tranquility. And in that peace, we receive as we give. That peace is vision given us, and we can see. So we begin the practice periods with the instruction for today, and we say this: to give and to receive are one in truth. I will receive what I am giving now. Then close your eyes, and for 5 minutes, think of what you would hold out to everyone. What would you hold out to everyone so that you could have it yourself, so that it could be yours, to have it yours, to give and to receive are one. So what do you hold out to everyone? Do you want to receive love? What do you hold out to everyone? For instance, say, to everyone I offer quietness, to everyone I offer peace of mind, to everyone I offer gentleness. I shared that with my love this morning. I said, I want to offer you gentleness today. She liked it. And I felt it. I still feel it. Say each one slowly, and then pause a while, expecting to receive the gift that you've given, that you gave. And it will come to you in the amount in which you give it. So you will find that you have exact return. For that is what you asked. To give and to receive are one in truth. So you're asking for exact return. Whatever you give, you receive in exact return. It might be helpful, too, then, to think of one to whom to give your gifts. This one, he or she, he represents the others, and through him, you give to all. There's only one mind. See, we are clearly beginning to see our teacher helping to lead us to the light of the reality that there is only oneness. Continuing, our very simple lesson for today will teach you much. Effect and cause will be far better understood from this time on. To give and to receive are one in truth. And we will make much faster progress now. Think of the exercises for today as quick advances in your learning, made still faster and more sure each time you say, to give and to receive are one in truth. To give and to receive are one in truth. But join with me, my brothers and sisters, as we share a prayer together. A moment of silence. Father, I did not make myself, although in my insanity I thought I did. Yet as your thought, that is me being a thought in your mind, yet as your thought, I have not left my source. I have not left you. I remain a part of you who created me. Your son, my father, I call on you today. Let me remember you created me. Let me remember my true identity, my true self, and let my sinlessness the idea of sin. Let all of this arise again before the vision of Christ that I am, my vision, in the light of your love, through which I would look upon my brothers and myself today and see the light that is there, that you have placed in them, the spark you have placed in them that is the spark in me, that my brothers and sisters and I, we are one. And that as I give this recognition to my brothers and sisters, I receive this recognition, because giving and receiving are one. And we are all, as you have created us to be, each being equal in your mind. And we will let go of this day ideas that no longer serve us, Father, and return to the one thought of your love in peace, in quiet, in gratitude, in humility, recognizing the very truth that we have not created ourselves, and that you and I are one. And if I will let that be, I will recognize again myself. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining me in this wonderful awakening to truth today that you have shared with me. I love you so very, very much. Have a beautiful day, this special day, this day where we join together to remember each other, to remember our brother, Jesus Christ, on this week of Easter, on this Good Friday. And to you I say, I love you, God bless.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's TONY@truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.